back to Head Games. We want to thank Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine giving us a little insight into that brawl. You know, Rick Bucher is saying that the NBA doesn't get treated right, that the NFL has people that are threatening young women with guns, that the NFL has all these problems and are not treated nearly as severely as the NBA. We're joined by a guy that might have a little opinion about that, Seth Joyner. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was saying that it's part of the intimacy of basketball. You have guys, you know, that are crashing into the stands. They're just a matter of inches away from the fans themselves. Do you think that's part of it? Do you think that the NBA actually is treated unfairly compared to the NFL and Major League Baseball?
I don't know. I think there's just so few guys, you know, on each team. You're looking at 12 to 13 guys on each roster. And, you know, the game is so big, and you're right. You know, you see the faces. You can identify with the players on a daily basis. I just think that David Stern is just trying to basically set the, you know, trying to set the standard and trying to clean up the game as he sees it. You know, when you look at players and you look at the general public, I mean, you're making a comparison. There's only, you know, however many players in the NBA, there's only however many players in the NFL. It's unfathomable to believe that you're going to get all of the guys in the NBA, all the guys in Major League Baseball, all the guys in the NHL, and all the guys in the NFL to act the way that they should act. You know, you're going to have some guys that step outside of the bounds, that think they're bigger than the game itself, and you have to deal with those guys accordingly. I just hate the fact that all the apples get thrown in the same bunch, and the outlook is the same for all players, no matter what league it is, that, oh, that's just the way you guys are. No, that's the way some of the guys are, just like in your opening. You know, 98% of the guys do the right thing, 2% do the wrong thing, but, you know, the 98 are the ones that get thrown in the heat with the 2%, and it's not fair to the guys that do things the right way and lead their lives in the proper way.
We're talking to Seth Joyner, who is a regular on Jim Rome on ESPN, and Merrill Hodge is with us for a few minutes today. Merrill, you're doing great work, my friend. What do you think about this? Do you think the NBA is treated differently from the NFL when it comes to brawls and the kind of issues that happen on the field?
Right. Well, to be honest with you, I don't follow the NBA enough. I'm proud of the NFL. I think the NFL does. I mean, they're the standard, and they are where we are in professional sports. Does it mean that the mistakes aren't made and players, you know, you can't control each and every player's action? No, but I don't think that we have the breakdown in behavior that they have. And, you know, when you look at the brawls and the things that went on the last couple of years, I think the NFL works hard in making sure those things don't happen. You know, like this thing with T.O. supposedly spitting and stuff. I would assure that the NFL will assess something next year and will warn players and will have certain boundaries where if a player is going to go that direction, then they're going to be suspended. And I think they do that so that there's not fallout like, you know, a brawl or something like that where it leaves such a black mark that it's hard to overcome. So,
hey guys,
those are some of my thoughts. I don't follow the NBA enough to know all their rules and regulations,
sure,
to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I bet you, Seth Joyner, that if the NBA court was became the NFL football field and you had all these bodies crushed into, you know, 90 feet by 50 feet or whatever it is, I bet you that somebody spitting would be a little bit more important, and maybe that's a big part of it as well. What about trash talking? Let's start with Seth. The trash talking seems to be something that is connected in the culture of both the NFL and the NBA. Do you think they're doing enough to reduce that, or do you think it's more than ever?
I don't think it's something that really needs to be, you know, reduced. I mean, when you look at the NFL game, I mean, they've reduced, you know, in my mind, NFL defensive players to a certain, you know, standpoint, you know, to flag football. You know, there has to be some kind of equilibrium as far as, you know, how the game is played. There's a game that goes on within a game when you're playing a game like football because of the physical nature of it. You know, there's an intimidation factor, you know, that you don't see in the game. Back when I played, it was there. If you could get into a guy's head, then your job was half done. So now what? We're going to take that aspect away from the game? You know, you don't the antics of T.O. and some of these wide receivers would never have been stood for back in the day when I played, because we would have just taken care of it on the field. Some of the things that are said, you see wide receivers that run routes across the middle with no fear anymore, because you know what? When a safety comes up, he's got to worry about whether he's got his head up or his head down. The game is meant to be played. It's a violent game. That's just the nature of the game. Let the guys play. Trash talking is never going anywhere because, you know, it's such a vital part, you know, of the mental makeup of the game. If I can get into a guy's head, well, my job is 95% done, because now he's thinking about me instead of thinking about what he should be doing.
Hey, let's shift to defense, and Mara, I just like your analysis with Seth about two defenses, one that already has been considered with great respect, another one that may be the Achilles heel, and that is Chicago and Indianapolis. Chicago, suddenly they've had some injuries, and suddenly their quarterback is not the problem. What's going on with Chicago, Mara?
Well, you know, when you look at what they've lost, you know, they've lost kind of the core of that defensive line, the core of that defense. The one thing that they were doing early in the year that they were so good at, they didn't have to blitz. They were getting pressure from their defensive line. They were getting quick pressure from their tackles. And because, you know, the loss there at the tackle position, they just don't get any push anymore. You know, they're not going to get the consistent push. So when you throw the ball, it's just an easier way to throw the football from the quarterback perspective, because you can step up. You know, just watching the Bucs, you know, one of the reasons Tampa was able to come back is there was just no consistent pressure on Tim Rattay late in the game, and he was able to step up. It was very obvious, because one thing, we plug in the Chicago tape, the first thing you see is, like, there's immediate push. I mean, those quarterbacks, a five-step drop, and they're in their face, and that's not the case anymore. You know, so can they offset that? You know, you can offset a little bit with some pressures, but without those key people there that can do it individually, it just makes it harder. Anytime you have just, like, one or two guys that can handle the pressure aspect, you've got to concern yourself with that. It makes it so much easier on a coordinator, you know, not having to give up players to blitz, you know. So it'll be a little more difficult for Chicago, but you obviously still have a very good defense, got some good players, but I don't think they're going to dominate in the playoffs, you know, once they get started.
Well, Brian Urlacher made another Pro Bowl and certainly a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, but Seth Joyner, you might argue that while Brian Urlacher is a tremendous physical specimen, like a lot of great players in the league, also in the NBA, the same kind of criticism, does not have the fundamentals that might make him a truly great player.
Well, you know, maybe not, but within the system that he plays, he really doesn't need it. You know, I think that you're going to see some different play out of him now when you lose a guy like Tommy Harris in the middle, and some of the other players, you know, they've lost because of suspension this Sunday and some of the other injuries that they have. I think it changes the way that Brian can play the game. You know, let's face it, a guy like Ray Lewis and a guy like Brian Urlacher, you know, they're hitters. What you do is you protect the interior of the offensive line, which means the center and the two guards will never, ever get to these two guys, and they're going to run from tackle to tackle as free hitters and just knock people out. Well, the game begins to change for these guys now anytime that they're missing one of the big defensive tackles in the middle, and they have to now take on a block and get off a block. We've seen it happen with Brian, probably about a year or two, you know, after they made their initial playoff run. And then you've seen it happen with Ray Lewis, you know, a year or two after they won the Super Bowl. These guys, the defenses are built differently this year, especially the scheme that these guys play in. So the day of, you know, reading, reacting, getting off blocks, taking on, you know, big 300-pound linemen, you know, they're kind of over for these guys because they're playing at 235, 240 pounds. Back when I played linebacker, I played at 245, almost 250, and most of the linebackers played at that weight because you had to have that mass to take on blockers and get off and make plays.
Merrill, is there a big difference when you're carrying that ball through the line when you're going to be hit by a Seth Joyner versus one of the smaller Kawika Mitchells, if you will?
Oh, sure. I mean, anytime you have, a size difference, you know, I mean, the game's about leverage, though. You know, I mean, I didn't get too caught up in, you know, how big a guy was, because the game is not played, you know, pound for pound, per se. It's not like the NBA where you play it up about a rim. You know, it's about leverage, about position, you know. What kind of technique am I in? Because I can tell you this, somebody's 250, and I got my pads under his pads, and I have a rising blow, and I have same foot, same shoulder. That 250 ain't going to do him any good if I'm under his pads. You know, my 220, I'll take that any day. You know, same for the guy that's straight up 220. I mean, it's about leverage. It's about playing the game with technique, too. I mean, now if everybody's equal, sure, that 30 pounds is probably going to give the advantage to the bigger guy. But that's what's great about football. You know, you know, it's a constant battle is to have good technique and be in good football positions. That's why no matter how long you play or who you are, you get your block knocked off on occasion because you can't always be in great football position. But that's the great individual chess match. There was so a great challenge for me is to constantly try to be in good football position when you play.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, buddy. We know you're a busy man.
Good ball,
we appreciate
boy.
It. Great job you're doing, ESPN.
You
bet, man. Thank you, sir. When we come back, that was Merrill Hodge from ESPN Primetime. We'll talk some more with Seth Joyner about defenses around the league. We're going to shift to Indianapolis and talk about Rob Morris, the strong side linebacker. Maybe he added a little bit of punch there for Indianapolis, but maybe, just maybe, Indianapolis is not going to be able to gain that sense of stability until they get Bob Sanders back, or maybe they never will. Maybe they never will get that Super Bowl chance. We'll be right back on Sirius Satellite with Seth Joyner. I'm Nick Lowry. We'll see you in a minute.